Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
After Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, Adam was having a conversation with God, and he said, God, why did you make Eve so beautiful? God replied, so you would love her. He said, but then why did you make her so dumb? Adam asked, and God answered, so she would love you. Revelation 12:11. And they, who's the they? Us. So let's trade we for they. Pronouns, pal. We for they. And we overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Turn to your neighbor and tell him enough is enough. It's time for a change. You may be seated. I'm talking to those that are going somewhere. I'm talking to those that are believing for big things. I'm talking for those that are not settling for second best and settling for less, settling for status quo. I'm talking for those that are dreaming the biggest dreams that you have ever dreamt in your life, that you've got the biggest vision that God has ever put into your mind, into your spirit, into your brain. I'm talking for those that are believing for big miracles, that you're believing for things that are so big that only God can get involved. Realize that when you step out with that kind of faith and those kinds of declarations, you put a target smack dab on your chest. That devil, I'm the one you should be worried about, because not only am I taking what God has called me to take, but the Bible says that I get sevenfold what the enemy's taken, so I'm coming after my stuff and your stuff. I'm coming back for the stuff that nobody else has the guts to go after. And so when you understand that you are a threat to the devil, that the devil is going to come at you with everything that he has, you should prepare yourself. And we do not prepare for times of war in war. We prepare for for times of war in times of peace. When nothing is going on, when the attack is not coming against us, that is when we are continually filling ourselves with the Word of God. That is when we are perfecting our praise. That is when our worship, we are getting all of the kinks out of our worship to make sure that we know how to enter into the throne room of God. That is where our prayers are tested, and we're making sure that our prayers can literally rattle the gates of heaven and get God's attention. So it is in times of peace, and it's always been said, and I love this saying, that we put the Word of God in us when we do not need it, and it will be there when we do need it. And so I want to encourage you today, if you are in a season of peace, a season of quiet, a season of solitude, this is when you should be gorging on everything that is God and spending time with God as much as you can, because there is a battle coming. And if you are going from greater to greater and victory to victory, God knows that he's got a great thing in store for you, but the devil also knows. You know why the devil knows? Because if you write the vision and make it plain, which we preached the first month of this year, if you talk about the vision enough, the devil knows exactly what God has promised you. So he's going to attack you not at the level that you've come from. He attacks you at the level that you are heading to. So the greater the attack, the greater the promotion. The greater he comes against you, it's just a telltale sign of what God is doing in me, so that God can bring me to a new place. And so, as we began our series last week, we talked, it's not a matter of if the devil comes, but when he comes. That he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That Jesus tells us that he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so, I'm never surprised when the devil shows up, because I'm planning at some point in some time he is going to rear his ugly little head. And so it is my job as a father, pastor, and husband to make sure that I am ready, so when the devil shows up, I've got a ready answer, that I'm ready to fight, that I'm ready to resist, that I'm ready to do everything that God has given me the power to do. There is a great, great scripture that Paul gives us in the New Testament, and we'll get to that here in just a moment, but I love it because it takes the battle and it takes it out of the earth's arena and it puts it in God's arena. And it says that our weapons are not carnal, but they are mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, that we don't fight flesh against flesh. See, just the mere mention of that scripture takes the fight off of earth and puts it in the spiritual realm, which means that I can't win fighting it earthly ways. I can't win cussing somebody out. I can't win debating somebody on social media. I can't win with fists of fury. I can't win with physical strength. But what I can win with is the weapons that God has given me. But understand that a weapon is useless unless you've got the artillery and the bullets or the rocks that go in the sling. And a lot of us are carrying around weapons that we are not that we have not perfected the use of, or that are empty. And when we get in the fight, we find out that the clip or the magazine is void of any bullets. And so that's where the Word of God comes in. God has given us weapons called praise, worship, prayer, fasting, serving, giving. God has given us all of these weapons, but those weapons are only good if you know the Word that backs up those weapons. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. We'll spend a little time here this morning. Matthew chapter 4, we'll start in verse 1. When Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, here's something that will probably kind of mess with your Sunday school theology if you grew up in Sunday school. Jesus was led up in the Spirit, by the Spirit, into the wilderness to be tempted. God led Jesus into a place, Spirit-led, Spirit-fed, into a place that was void, that there was nothing there, and he knew the devil was going to be there to tempt him. God will never lead you to a place that he will not keep you. God will never lead you to a place that you will fail in. If he's led you to it, he's given you enough power to get through it. If he's led you to, you say, I don't like where I'm at. You don't have to like where you're at to be productive where you're at. You don't have to like the stretching. You don't have to like being made uncomfortable. No one likes being made uncomfortable, but it is when we are uncomfortable that we grow the most. It is when we are uncomfortable that we learn who we are and who God really is. And so before Jesus does the greatest ministry that he has ever done in his life, God said, I need to put you in a barren place where all you have is me and my word. But get ready, because where I'm taking you, the devil is going to try to prevent you from getting there. And so when he shows up, this is the time that you are going. Why is this important? Because Jesus had 3 years of ministry in front of him. Not only 3 years of ministry in front of him, but he was going to go through the heartache of family turning their back on him, his friends walking away from him, him being mocked and humiliated in front of the world. He knew that he was going to have to go toe to toe with the devil. And so God said, before I take you all the way to where you're supposed to be, I need to make sure that you know how to handle the devil when he shows up and gets in your face. Somebody say, enough is enough. It's time for a change. Verse 2, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. He wasn't hangry. I would be hangry. 2 days into the 3-day fast, I was hangry. How many of you fasted with us this past month? Amen. A lot of us fasted. Amen. That's awesome. But how many of you know that first couple hours, you're just like, man, it's Jesus. Man, I'm going to do this, and this is going to be great. And then that first lunch hour passes, and you're like, okay. And then it's so-and-so's birthday on the office floor, and they bring in the cake and the cupcakes, and you don't want to be the jerk that doesn't show up, and so you sing the worst version of Happy Birthday. Your heart wasn't in it. Your thoughts weren't in it. And so the devil comes when his flesh is the weakest. I love this, though. The devil is so dumb, because he comes when his flesh is the weakest, but his spirit is the strongest. That ought to bless somebody today. Church, the devil only shows up in your life when your flesh is weak. But my flesh is never weak when my spirit's weak. If my flesh is weak, then my spirit's strong. You should have come to me when my flesh was strong and my spirit was weak. But the fact that you showed up tells me My spirit is stronger than I'm even giving it credit for. Because I've been fasting, I've been praying. Jesus was out there 40 days, hadn't eaten anything, just drinking water. He was talking to the Father, getting ready for the greatest outpouring of ministry in his life, and the devil shows up. Let me encourage you, church. If the devil shows up tomorrow, you ought to take it as a mark in your on your shoulder that God has prepared you, that you are where you need to be, doing what you need to do, and you are prepared for whatever the devil has coming against you. So the devil shows up in his fleshly weakest moment, but his spirit was the strongest it had ever been. And the tempter came and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. I don't want to really deal with each temptation. I want to deal with the response to each temptation. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said, it is written. Powerful statement that we always love to preach. But there is not power in the statement, it is written. Jesus follows up, it is written, with what is written about the temptation that was coming against him. So for all the Bible thumpers that like to say, it is written, I'm going to win. What is written? The devil knows you don't know. The devil's testing to see if you do know. And so when he tempts you, he is tempting you to see. And there's three temptations here, and he keeps lofting, and every temptation's different because the devil wants to know, does he know just the Old Testament, or does he know the New Testament? Does he have his three favorite verses, or does he actually read the entire Bible and know what it says? Does he know each and every promise that God has put over his life to bless him and favor him with? And so Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. It wasn't some vague scripture. It wasn't some scripture that was ambiguous. He said, you offered me bread, but let me tell you what the Bible says about bread. I don't need your bread because I've got the word. And so Satan said, all right, Jesus knows a little word. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Verse 5, the devil takes him to the holy city, sets him up on a pinnacle of the temple and says unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, again, it is written. Doesn't stop with it is written. I'm glad that you own 7 versions of the Bible. That's awesome. I'm glad that you've got the app on your phone with speaking. That's great. I'm glad that you've got concordances. But the concordance has to be more than just a coaster, more than just a dust collector. We've got to get in that word so that when Satan shows up, we understand if Satan shows up, I've got an appointment on the other side of Satan that God's trying to get me to. I've got something that God has called me to that is greater, and so I need to have a response. And so when Satan says, I want you to throw yourself off this, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. Verse 8, again the devil takes him up to an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. And Jesus said unto him, get away from me. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and only him shalt thou serve. Verse 11, probably the greatest verse in this chapter. Then the devil left, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. I love this. Ephesians 4 talks about resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know what Jesus is teaching us here about the Word of God? That the Word fights for you. Because Jesus didn't lift a hand. Jesus didn't fight the devil. Jesus didn't thump him on his head. He just kept saying, it is written. It is written. Then he would give what was written down. When we give the word as our response, we are resisting the adversary. When we resist the adversary, he has to flee from us. If the devil won't leave you alone, you don't know enough word. Because every believer that can stand there and say, it is written in the Word of God, What we are saying is this is what God has said. This is what God has promised. This is what I am holding him to. And devil, I am resisting you with the word of God. And just like in the wilderness with Jesus, you cannot stay here today. Not today, Satan. Enough is enough. And you must get yourself out of my life. There's a difference. I love what God showed me. There's a difference. The devil was coming at Jesus. Jesus resisted him with the word. And the devil had to leave. Fast forward to the end of Jesus' life. Jesus lays down in the tomb. They put his dead body in the tomb. For 3 days, his physical body stayed in the tomb. But Jesus went down to hell, and he defeated Satan, which means he fought with Satan. The only time Jesus fought with Satan was when Jesus was picking the fight. Every other time in the Bible, he resisted him, and he had to leave. Can I tell you that the only time you ever should fight with the devil is when you pick the fight? And you better not pick the fight unless you're ready to fight. The only fight you should fight is one that you're guaranteed to win. The only time that you should wade into those waters is when you're feeling, man, I feel like I can do anything. I've got a God. The Holy Ghost is moving. And that's what these services do for me. Man, I get so pumped up. I leave here looking for a devil to thump. But other times, the devil's coming at me. It's not time to swing on him. I'm in a defensive posture, but I resist him, and he flees. But other time, I go to hell. Look, and the Bible says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against living way, against believers, against the church. And so when I invade hell, I'm on the offensive, and I fight the devil, and I take back stuff. But anytime the devil comes at me, I don't fight him. I resist. I love it. I resist him, and he has to leave. The devil won't leave you alone. It's because you're not resisting. It's because you have said it is written, but you don't know what is written. He's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And when the other shoe doesn't drop, he doesn't go anywhere. When the other shoe doesn't drop, he doesn't quit messing with your finances. When the other shoe doesn't drop, he doesn't quit messing with your relationships. The devil only stays where the word is not. When the word shows up, in resisting fashion, he flees, he leaves. Then the devil left, verse 11. James 4, 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Somebody say, not today, Satan. So let's go through some more of these declarations that we left off with last session. Let's put some word to back these up. So when you say it is written, you have the declaration to go. Not today, Satan. You are defeated in the spiritual. You do not have, if you're defeated in the spiritual, it means you do not have access to the physical. Ephesians 6:12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. You will never win spiritual battles fighting physical wars, but you will always win physical wars fighting spiritual battles. You can never win spiritually fighting physically. That's why a lot of times we've got to hold our peace. That's why a lot of times we can't tell them what we think. That's a lot of times you've got to let vengeance. That's what we left off with last session, Romans 12, I think it's 19 or 19:12, that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That means sometimes you do have to turn the cheek. Sometimes you do have to be quiet. Why? Because I'm not going to fight you physically. I'm not going to barrage you with a verbal assault. What I'm going to do is I'm going to fight in the spiritual. What does that mean? That I'm going to pray for you. What does that mean? That I'm going to bless you. What does that mean? That I'm going to speak favorably over you. That God, I want you to bless them, but God, remove them out of my life. God, I want you to do something. God, I want you to transform them so they don't act like this anymore. I fight spiritually to win physically. I never fight physically to win spiritually. Here's another confession. Not today, Satan. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. It is God's battle, and when God has a problem with the adversary is going to point the gun at you. But when he points the gun at you, you can stare right down the barrel of the gun from the adversary and say, "No it is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper." The next time the devil shows up at your job, you need to put him in his place. You need to have an "it is written" ready for the adversary. And you can put all the guns and point them at me, but I'm here to tell you, it is not my battle. The battle is the Lord's. I'm not going to fight you. I'm just going to resist you, and I'm going to give you what the Word says. Here's another one. I love this one. Not today, Satan. You don't have access. You don't have a place, and you don't have space. Ephesians 4:27. Give the devil no place. It covers such a huge array of things we could preach. Don't give the devil a place in your home. Don't give him a place in your marriage. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, one of the things that Mandy can stand up and say I'm a liar right here. This is one of the secrets of our marriage is not getting mad, but we don't stay mad long. The sun has never gone down. We've never gone to bed angry. I will wake her up until she forgets. No, just kidding. But we've got so many opportunities to give the adversary a place in our marriage. I've had so many opportunities to give the devil a place in my brain through music, through movies, through relationships. It's getting quiet. That's all right. You know, what you allow in your eyes and in your ears, that can give place to the adversary. That's why your house needs to be a holy place. There should be things that you don't allow in your place. Some of you are so concerned with your carpets. Please take off your shoes. It ain't the shoes you should be worried about. It's the spirits inside, the people you're allowing in your house that you're telling to take off their shoes. It ain't their shoes that you should be worried about. It's the spirit of lust that they're bringing in your house. It's the spirit of division it's the devil that they're bringing into your house. I don't give place to the devil. I don't watch him on TV. I don't listen to him on the radio. I don't talk to him on Main Street. I give him no place. If the devil has place, believe me, that he is going to work in some form or some fashion. The devil don't just hang out. The devil's there for one reason, to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, guess what? If he don't have a place in my life, he ain't doing that in my life. He's going to have to find some other target, and there are easier targets than you and I. Remember, you don't have to be the strongest. You can't be the weakest. Somebody say amen. Here's another one. Not today, Satan. You are defeated by the blood of Jesus and my testimony. Our text for today. The blood of Jesus has already been done. Jesus has done his part in this equation. It's the greatest combination to overcoming the adversary. His blood, my words. I say it like this. The blood of Jesus is what he did. My testimony is what I do with what he did. My testimony is different than your testimony. And I encourage you, don't shy away from telling your testimony. If God delivered you from a drug habit, you ought to tell people, God is my deliverer. I used to have a $20 a day habit. If you've been divorced two or three times, that ought to be your testimony. Now, you might not want to put that on your dating profile, but it should be your testimony that all of what I've been through has made me a stronger person. God has seen me through all of it. If you've had a sickness, don't shy away from that. Let God use that to bring people closer. Because every time you testify of the goodness of God, the devil cannot stand for you to brag on God. Because when you brag on God, it's what we call praise. And every time you praise, God shows up and the devil gets out. Every time we praise, the devil's reminded, they're doing what I was created to do but couldn't do, and I got kicked out of heaven, and here they are as my replacement. They sing better than me. They worship better than me. They testify better than me. When you share your testimony with God's blood, it puts the devil on notice that he is evicted out of your life. Not today, Satan. Enough. Here's another one. Not today, Satan. I am a believer, and in the name of Jesus, you have to go. Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils.
and they shall speak with new tongues. I do not think it is by accident, the wording of this scripture. I do not think it is coincidence that what God has put in these two lines in this scripture, that those that follow God are called believers. That's us. That in Jesus' name we cast out devils and we speak in other tongues. Can I just tell you something? God showed me about the Holy Ghost. Every time we speak in the Holy Ghost, we put the devil on notice. I'm not just a normal believer. When I speak in tongues, devils have to go. When I speak in tongues, devils run out seven different ways. When I speak in tongues, they say, man, that's the language of heaven. I haven't heard that language since I got kicked out of heaven. And so when they show up on my front porch and they try to hit me and buffet me, and I just, what am I doing? I'm putting the devil on notice. I'm casting you out. I am a believer that knows the power of the name of Jesus and that uses the gift of tongues, and you cannot stay. Not today, Satan. Enough is enough. Not today, Satan. I'm prepared. I'm covered. And I will stand. Another word for resist. I am prepared, I'm covered, and I stand. Ephesians 6 tells us, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against, to resist. Some of us spend way too much time combing, plucking, blushing, fake eyelashes, fake nails. And you're going to look totally different when we get to heaven. We're going to be like, who are you? My wife and my little girl, they're so funny. They bless me. And it's just a world that I don't understand. They'll come tell me and Tyler goodnight an hour before they go to bed. Why are you going to bed so early? It's 9:15. Oh, we got to go through our nightly. They're in there scrubbing, putting on all kinds of moisturizer. All this stuff. And I'm like, this is me. I mean, good, bad, indifferent, ugly, whatever. This is. But we spend so much time preparing ourselves physically, but then we leave in the spirit naked. And then when the devil comes, I shouldn't go here, but we'll go here. I don't care how good of a fighter you are. If you're naked, you're in trouble. I don't care how much training you've had. If you're naked, you're in trouble. And we got a lot of believers that say, oh, it is written, God bless this day. God, I'm too blessed to be stressed. God, I am anointed. And we walk out the door and says, look at that fool in his three-piece suit, that nice hat, that beautiful dress, spent $400 on shoes, and he don't have the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. His feet are not shod with the preparation of peace. He does not have the shield of faith, and he definitely does not have the sword of the Spirit. When I wake up, when you wake up and we leave our house, we need to be covered, because when we are covered, we are announcing to the devil, it is written, I am covered. I have put on the whole armor of God so that I can stand against, so that I can resist you. And when I resist you, you cannot stay. You have to flee. Can we do one more? Not today, Satan. I know who you are, and I know how you work. 2 Corinthians 2:10, 11, to whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave it I, the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Forgiveness, I love this. I love this. Forgiveness is an amazing thing that until I read the context of what Paul's saying here, I didn't understand it. He said, forgiveness reminds us that the devil is defeated. Forgiveness reminds us that we are not ignorant of his devices because of this. If I really understand forgiveness, and if Brother Michael has done something to me that I forgive him, if I really understand forgiveness, I say, Mike, I forgive you because he forgave me. The only way he could forgive me was to shed his blood on the cross. So every time I forgive somebody, I am now Christ-centralistically focused. And while I'm focused on the cross and I'm focused on Christ through forgiveness, I am reminded the devil is a liar, the devil is defeated, and none of the things that he tries to do, I'm not ignorant of his devices, I'm not ignorant of his strategies, and he loves to bring things in between the people of God to divide us, but I'm not going to let him divide us. I'm going to forgive you. I want you to forgive me, because when we forgive each other, we remind the devil, you don't have a place here. We know who you are. We know how you work, and God is not going to let you stay here in this place. So forgive this week. Call somebody up. Forgive them. Send them a text. Forgive them. Before they leave this church today, forgive them. Just say, hey, I just want to let you know I love you. And man, I was offended, and I don't know what I was going through 6 months ago, but somewhere along the line, I was bitter, and I let that thing take root. But today, I forgive you. And you say, what if they don't forgive me? What if they don't even know what I'm talking about? Forgiveness, you forgiving someone, it has nothing to do with how they react or what they reciprocate. Forgiveness is forgiveness, and it puts your mind back on Christ. Amen? Not today, Satan. Get away from me. God's word will prevail. Matthew 4:10, that's where Jesus said, we read it today, get thee hence, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord your God, and him only will thou serve. Not today, Satan, get behind me where you belong. You might be a part of my past, but you are not a part of my future. That's what Jesus would say when Peter would say that he would not go to the cross, that he would not die, that he would not rise. When he would say, God would save you, he turned to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That gives us the power to say, devil, you are a part of my past. I know you think we're still boys, but we're not boys anymore. I am under the blood of Jesus. I am a disciple of Jesus. I might make mistakes, but my past does not hold me. My future is secure in Jesus, and I'm going to press on. I'm going to keep on. Your past cannot stop you. Your future is waiting for you. Allow God to take you to that place, but you've got to put the devil in his place. The last one, Jude chapter 1, verse 9. Stand on your feet, if you will. I love this account in the Word of God. Moses, at the end of his life, the Bible says that his body was literally taken from by God from this earth, and that God buried him. There's a lot of reasons why that happened that we won't get into, but God literally took his body and made sure that his body was buried. Well, here in Jude, we see the account where the archangel Michael has gone to get the body of Moses, and that Satan is fighting for the body. Amazing picture here. Satan saying, I want his body because if I know if I have his body, I can keep Israel exactly where they are. They'll never move forward. Michael said, no, God sent me for this body. And this is what Michael said. Didn't fight him. The Bible says, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the Moses of body. And he said, do not bring against him a railing accusation. But he said, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. In your life, Living Way, you're going to contend for a lot of things. Make sure that what you're fighting for matters. Make sure what you're fighting for is eternal. Make sure what you're fighting for is spiritual. But understand, when you lay your hand on that thing to fight, the devil's going to lay his hand on it too. There's going to be a spiritual tug of war. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about because it's where you've been living for the last few months. And you can get a little, and then you can give a little. And you can give a little, and you started out strong, but now it seems like the devil's getting the best of you, and the tug of war is happening. When you don't know what to say and you don't know what to do, there's one thing you can always say. It is written, Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. When you say that, he has no other option but to let go. And when he lets go, that's when you see the fullness of God flood your life. Because what you've been contending for is now all yours and only yours. No more fighting. But you have realized that you have owned and possessed the vision. Very quickly, I've got a couple altar appeals that I'd like to make today. I like to open this altar, and I say this a lot. This is not an admission of guilt. This is a God, I love you, and God, I want you to help me in this moment. But there's somebody that's been caught fighting the devil instead of resisting the devil. And I want those of you that are weary of fighting the devil to join us in this altar. Those of you that have been going back and forth with the devil, you've been trading blows, and you say, I thought I'd be farther. I thought it would work. I thought I would have the upper hand by now, but here we are. We're 6 weeks into this new year. Nothing's changed in my life. I want to talk to you because it's time that you quit throwing punches. It's time that you start throwing the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, putting your feet down and saying, God, this is my moment. This is my time. I'm no longer going to fight him. I'm going to worship you and resist him. I'm going to have faith in you and resist him. I'm going to pray more earnestly, and I'm going to resist him. And as I resist him, I know the devil is no longer going to be able to stay in my presence because he can't stay in your presence, and that's whose presence is in my life. For those of you that are already in this altar, it didn't take you long to answer. It didn't take you long to join us.